Morning, today's daf and Shabbos Samach Beis. We are in the Mishnah. Towards the top of Samach Beis, Amud Aleph, sixth parak of Shabbos. What can and cannot be worn on Shabbos? That has been the one discussion in the course of this parak, and it will continue to be so until the end of the parak. The Mishnah starts off, Lo Seisei Isha B'machad HaNekuva. A woman cannot go out with a needle that has no eye to it. V'lo B'tabash Yesh Lav Chosam. And a woman cannot go out with a ring that has on it a signet. V'lo b'kolyir, v'lo b'kovelas. Not with a kolyir and a kovelas. We're going to learn in the Gemara together, kolyir, some sort of pin, some sort of brooch. And a kovelas also will be discussed in the Gemara as well. V'lo b'sluchish al plaitan. A woman cannot go out with a sluchish al plaitan. The Gemara is going to be discussing what exactly that is. V'imyatzer chayeves chatas divrei meir. Now, in any of the above-mentioned items, if a woman goes out with them on Shabbos, so according to Rabbi Meir, Chiyuv Chatas, meaning Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that these items for the woman is considered a muscle, is considered a burden, it is not considered tachshit, and so therefore, woman would be liable for the malach of hotzah. The Chachamim potrim bekovelus of tzluchish shel paitan. Now, the Chachamim say that in the case of a kovelus and a tzluchish shel paitan, we'll give the definitions of what they are when we get to the Gemara. So, So according to the Chachamim, it is considered tachshit. So me'ikar hadin, according to the Torah, she would be allowed to take them out. But the Chachamim were gozer that she's not allowed to wear them. But he fundamentally disagrees with Rav Meir, as he is of the opinion, or I should say, they are of the opinion that it is in fact a tachshit. So we have a lot of work cut out for us. In the Mishnah, we've given a number of items that is not considered tachshit for a woman. And the question of what some of these items are and the why. Why are these items not considered a tachshit? So we are going to be focusing on the tabas. We're talking now about the ring. Now, as we already discussed before, rings, some of them have a insignia, some of them do not have an insignia. And we noted already, and we're going to note it again right now, that the ring that has an insignia on it is really more functional in nature. The idea behind a ring with an insignia is that you're going to be using it to seal documents. Seal envelopes, seal documents, sign documents. So the ring with an insignia, really more than anything else, is almost like a stamp. And, as we already pointed out before, and we're going to point it out right now again, and that's typically worn by a man. A man is the one who's normally going to be wearing such an item because, again, it's more like a stamp, it's more like a seal. And so that's something that's typically worn by a man. On the other hand, a ring without insignia, so that obviously is an accessory. That's jewelry. And that, as the Gemara itself is about to point out, that's typically worn by a woman. And so what we learned together in the Mishnah is that a woman cannot go out with a ring that has an insignia on it because this is typically something that's worn by a man. And for a woman, therefore, it's not considered a tachshit. That's what we just learned together in the Mishnah. On that, the Gemara makes the following observation, Amar Ula v'chilufehim be'ish. Now, Ula is of the opinion that basically we could flip it around for a man. Now, that means as follows, and this is Rashi's explanation. And that is that we're focusing right now on the ring, and we're saying as follows. For a tabashi, eshalav chosam, if it's a ring that has an insignia on it, so for a woman, it's not considered a tachshit, therefore it's going to be carrying. And and for a man, if it is a ring that does not have an insignia on it, so that's something that's typically not worn by a man, and since it's not typically worn by a man, so therefore it's not going to be considered tachshit. And so therefore, if the man were to wear it while going out, so the man himself would be chayv karban chatas. That is what Ula is saying. So basically, in terms of typecasting a man and a woman typically wears a ring without insignia. Therefore, for a man, it's not considered tachshit. A man typically wears a ring with an insignia. And so therefore, for a woman, it's not considered a tachshit. Now, there is a deeper discussion, which I'll just touch on, and that is that the Isser D'Rabbanan. Meaning, for a woman to wear a ring, so there is an Isser D'Rabbanan to do so, because again, we go back to the beginning of the parak, the concern is that she's going to take it off and show it to her friends. Are we having also the same discussion in terms of an Isser D'Rabbanan as well? So you can see the very short Tosfos over here, third Tosfos on the Amud, where Tosfos says that this discussion of the Gemara is limited to just the discussion of the Chiyuv Chatas, not the Isser D'Rabbanan. In fact, Tosfos says it very clearly. Okay, so, and good, there's much more to discuss on that topic, but for the time being, we'll just leave it that this is a discussion regarding just the Chiyuv Chatos. Now, what do we see from all this? We already spelled it out, but the Gemara now is just simply going to spell it out. Alma kasavar ula kol midi dechazil ish lo chazil isha, o midi dechazil isha lo chazil ish. So Ula says that in terms of giving certain accessories, definition, and statuses, so we've just learned together that something that's typically worn by a man is not considered any kind of clothing or tachshit for a woman, and vice versa. So Meisiv Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef says, but wait 1 second, let's learn a Tosefta together. The Tosefta teaches us, Haram Yosim B'Sakim V'lo Haram Lovan Amru Ala Kol Adam. The shepherds can go out with a sakin. The way Rashi describes it, it's some sort of rain poncho. And it is, for the shepherd, an integral part of his wardrobe, because he's going to be outside under all conditions, and so therefore he wears this rain poncho. And the Braisa then says, the truth of the matter is, Ella, the truth of the matter is that any person could be wearing the rain poncho on Shabbos. So, V'lo Arom Bilvad Amru, I'm just reading the Tosefta, Ella Kol Adam, Kol Adam. It really is an article of clothing for every person. It just happens to be that who's normally going to be wearing this kind of rain poncho? So it's normally going to be worn by the shepherd. But it really defines itself as an article of clothing for anybody. So what do we see over here? We see over here that even though it is only a sampling of the population that wears this particular article of clothing, but once this sample of the population wears it, so we assume now that's an article of clothing for all of the population. To which the Gemara now is asking, well, if that's true, well, if something is considered a article of clothing for a woman, so why can't it also define itself as an article of clothing for a man? So, Alam Rav Yosef Kasavar Ula Nashim Am Bifne Atzman Hain. So, Rav Yosef says that to just go and understand Ula a little bit more, so we're going to say that as far as Ula is concerned, we view men and women as two different nationalities. Two different nations, right? Like the popular modern book, Men Are From Mars, Women From Venus. The Gemara basically says that we don't look at them as just simply a sample of one large population, but they are really, in fact, two different populations. And so therefore, even though we can take an article of clothing worn by the shepherd and say that that is considered now a standard article of clothing, but we cannot do that for men and women. Now, it's interesting because what I would have expected, what probably we all would have expected, is that the Gemara kind of relates this to the discussion of cross-dressing. We know that the Torah forbids cross-dressing. So the fact that the Torah forbids it, already the Torah is giving us this idea that clothing that's designed for a man, it cannot be worn by a woman and vice versa. It is certainly interesting to see that the Gemara does not bring that as part of the discussion over here. Certainly a curiosity. Maybe it's behind the discussion of the Gemara over here, but it's certainly curious that the Gemara doesn't spell it out straightforward. Eitz Ve'Abaye, the Gemara now is going to be challenging based on another Braisa, and we're going to be seeing this in Erevin. Hamotzi Tefillin Machtisin Zug Zug. Let's say you want to move Tefillin from one location to another. And we're obviously discussing on Shabbos over here. And so what you can do, and in Erevin we're going to talk much more about the context. Where is he moving it from? Where is he moving it to? Why is he moving it from one place to another? There's much more discussion to be had over here, but we're just going to be focusing on the aspect of tefillin being worn typically by a man. Hamotzi tefillin machtisin zug zug, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha. So if tefillin needs to be moved from one location to another on Shabbos, so it could be moved a pair at a time, meaning you'll wear the shal yad, you'll wear the shal rosh in the way that it's normally worn, and this can be done by either a man or a woman. Oh, so here we obviously get now to the question of the Gemara. The Braisa just told us that a woman could do this. She could wear the tefillin from one location to another. Now, presumably, here's what's built into the question. Presumably, it is not the mode of dress for a woman to wear tefillin. And in a moment, we are going to tackle the issue of, is there any mitzvah for the woman to put on tefillin? But let's say it simply. It's not the mode for a woman to be putting on tefillin. And yet, because it is considered an article of clothing for a man, so under these circumstances, we could therefore give it the status of an article of clothing for a woman, and therefore under certain needs, a woman could wear it if she wants to transport it from one place to another on Shabbos. And then we kind of are rejecting the notion of Rav Yosef that men and women are two totally different populations. And the Gemara now spells out exactly this question. Now, if you're subscribing to this idea of Rav Yosef, that women are a totally different population, now, we know as far as the women's relationship to tefillin, tefillin is a time bound mitzvah. Women are exempt from tefillin. So how could you now tell me that women can wear tefillin on Shabbos, even if their primary goal is just simply to transport it from one place to another, but shouldn't for them be considered a masui? It's not an article of clothing for women. So the Gemara says, okay, the question is excellent, but what we could do is we can go back into the Braisa and we could change some of our assumptions. Hasam kasav Rameir Laila Zman Tefillin Hu, Vishabbos Man Tefillin Hu, Havalei Mitzvahs Essay, Shaloh Zman Grama, V'chol Mitzvahs Essay, Shaloh Zman Grama, Nashim Chayavas. And the variables that we can change going back to the Braisa is the following. First of all, can a person wear tefillin at night subject to a machlokas? Let's assume Rameir says you can wear tefillin at night. Can you wear tefillin on Shabbos? A machlokas as well. We just discussed this in yesterday's daf. So that's also machlokas. Let's assume right now that Rameir is of the opinion that you can wear tefillin on Shabbos. If both of these assumptions now are true, so now tefillin becomes a mitzvah essay, shaloh hazman gram, it's a non-time bar mitzvah. Now, if that's true, then that means women would be obligated to be wearing the tefillin. And so therefore, that if the author of this braisa subscribed to that, so then you understand that a man could wear the tefillin to move him on Shabbos, and a woman could wear the tefillin in order to move them on Shabbos. Okay. And so and then the question no longer becomes a question against Rav Yosef. V'hau tzak l'achar yadhu. Now, the Gemara asks another question. Let's just for a moment go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that if a woman were to go out on Shabbos with a signet ring, so the Mishnah taught us that according to Rav Meir, she'd be chayev a karban chatos for doing so. It's not a tachshit for a woman. The Gemara says, okay, now going back to the Mishnah, I'm wondering, says the Gemara, how is a woman carrying it? Well, what's the typical way of carrying something? And the answer is very simple, by holding it in your hand. If you're carrying an item in an unusual manner, this is what's called kala achar yad. And over here, we can understand it both as a concept and literally, meaning you're not carrying it in the palm of your hand like you normally carry something. Here, you're carrying it by wearing it. But that's not the way you carry something. And so the Gemara says, so what I'm struggling with is that this idea that the woman is now wearing the man's ring, right? The ring with the insignia on it. And it's not clothing for her. That's fine. But how would it ever result in it being a chi of carbon chatas? She's not carrying it in the normal manner. So, Amar of Yirmiyah be'isha gizbaris askinan. So the Gemara says, well, what we could do is we could give a little more context to the Mishnah. And that is that we're describing a woman who is a gizbaris. Rashi describes this. I'm reading the Rashi inside. Rashi says, shesholachas chosamos tamid lememunim tachteha. Lemor tenu kach v'kach maus l'ploni. So she's a courier, says Rashi. That could be the case of our Mishnah. V'arei chosma biyada. And being that this is her particular occupation, so she's always going to be wearing the rings on her fingers. Hilkach regili hilanicha be'etzpa'a. So for her, the manner of carrying, for her, this is considered usual. Now, it's interesting because Rashi also has to now still maintain the position that it's not normal for her to wear it. And that's what Rashi continues to say. Umiyu, tachshit lo hava lidida, de'in derech nashim bekach, umiyu, derech rafsa shalzu bekach. So, even though the manner in which she carries the ring, for her, this is normalized activity, where instead of carrying it in her hand, she wears it on her finger. On the other hand, it's still effectively, essentially a man's ring. And so for her, it is not considered a tachshit. And so what we've now done is we've adjusted it so that this is a normal manner of caring for her. On the other hand, it's not a tachshit. Therefore, it would violate the melech of hotzah. Amar Rabba Bar Bachanan Rav Yochanan, or Amar Rabba, whatever the right gears is, Teratz Isha Ish Vayikal Amemar. So the Gemara says, okay, very good. So now what we've done is that we've adjusted it, that we've adjusted the settings. So now we understand that if a woman goes out on Shabbos with a man's ring, wearing it on her finger, so she violated the Isser of Shabbos. She violated Malacha of Hotzah. Good. So the Gemara says, but remember, the moment we started with the Gemara, we said that the same thing would be true regarding a man. If a man wore a woman's ring on Shabbos, so he would be chayav a karban chatas. So the Gemara says, fine. So we answer the question well for regarding a woman, but what are you going to say regarding a man? Meaning, for a man does not normally wear a woman's ring. And if a man does so, Ula was of the opinion that that man would be chayav a karban chatas, because for him it's not a tachshit, and it would be carrying. Now the Gemara says, now isn't that kalachayad? Ela amarava pa mimsha adam nosin liishto tabashe shlav chosam, lo licha la kufsa, uminichasa biyada asha magasa kufsa. Upamim shayisha nosin sabala tabashe ina la chosam, lo licha eitzel uman la takain, uminicha biyada asha megi eitzel uman. So Ula says, look, we're gonna go back. Sorry, Rava. Rava says, what we're gonna do is we're gonna go back. We're gonna re-ask the question about, isn't this kalachayad? And instead of giving an answer of ukimta, an answer of circumstance, what we're going to do is we're just going to give him a fundamental answer. And that is, look, sometimes a woman is asked to transport her husband's ring. Right? The husband says to his wife, look, not on Shabbos, during the week. Husband says to his wife, look, this ring obviously to me is very valuable. Would you please take it and put it in the safety deposit box? And so what the wife is going to do is that she's going to take the ring and she's going to bring it over to the safety deposit box. But because she wants to make sure that it's secured to her, so she'll wear it. So in other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is that this is not kila achayad. This is in fact derech chotza'a. When a woman transports a ring and she wants to make sure that she's transporting it and the ring remains secure, she'll be putting it on her finger. Similarly, says Rava, the same thing is true regarding a man. If the wife says to the husband, look, my ring is right now a little bit broken. It needs a little bit of work. Can you bring it to the smith in order that he can work on it? So the husband will take it over. But again, so that the husband makes sure that the ring is secured to his finger, so he's going to wear it. So Rabbi says that there are times in which the way that it's transported is going to be on the hand in order to make sure that it's secure. Being that that's the case, now when you take a ring and you're putting it on your finger and you're going out with it on Shabbos, that's not considered kila achayah. But rather, that's considered the normal mode of transport. And so therefore, to the question that the Gemara asks, isn't this kala achayad? The Gemara's answer is very simple. No, it's not kala achayad. This is, at times, the way that it's normally transported, and therefore this is considered the normal way of carrying. And then we go back to the basic point, the premise of the Mishnah, and Ula's addendum, which is that because a woman's ring is exclusively worn by women, and because a man's ring is exclusively worn by men, so therefore, if each gender wore the other gender's ring, so then on Shabbos it's not a tafshit, and therefore it would violate the malacha of otzah. Good. Ad kan, that takes us for the first sugya of our Gemara, the men's ring, the women's ring, Ula's clear delineation that they are exclusive to each of the population. The other were to wear the ring on Shabbos outside, it'd be a violation of otzah. Continuing in the Gemara, v'lo b'kulya v'lo b'kovelas. A woman cannot go out on Shabbos with the kulyar and the kovelas. Those are the other items mentioned in the Mishnah that a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos. My kulyar. So the question is very simple. What are these items? So Amarav makavanta. So the kulyar is a kavanta. It's a pin. It's some sort of brooch. Kovelas amarav chumrata de pilon. Now what is the kovelas? It's a chumrata de pilon. Some sort of item that is used to help the body smell a little bit better. Okay, some sort of spice pouch. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a brisa, lo say bekovelas v'imyatza chayeves chatas. And the Gemara now is going to be quoting a brisa, discussing more about this kovelas, whether a woman could go out with it on Shabbos. And in this brisa, we're going to see three opinions. That's one more opinion than we saw back in the Mishnah. So the Braisa starts off, So Reb Meir in the Braisa says that a woman were to go out with a spice pouch on Shabbos, it's not a tapshit, it's not an accessory item, and so therefore the woman would be violation of carrying. This obviously is consistent with our Mishnah. Reb Meir in the Mishnah said the exact same thing. Now the Chachamim say that she cannot go out, but if she does so, it would be pater. Meaning the Chachamim put this under the list of things which are exera de Rabbanan. The Chachamim fundamentally disagree with Reb Meir. They say that it is, in fact, a tachshit. On the other hand, the concern is that she may take it off. Now, here, we could suggest, the Gemara doesn't make this point very clear, No, I'm sorry. I take it back. I retract. The Gemara does make it clear. The reason why she's going to take it off is to show it off, although that's a little bit strange. It's a spice pouch. Okay. Anyway, well, I'm sorry. The Gemara is going to make that point clear. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the third opinion in the Braisa, Yotze Isha Bekavelsa Chatchila. Rabbi Eliezer says that there's no problem whatsoever. A woman can walk out with it on Shabbos. She could wear the spice pouch out on Shabbos. And B'maika Miflagi, the Gemara now wants to go and understand the Machlokas a little bit better. The range of positions over here, because we have the full range in which Rameir says it's an Issa D'Oraisa, the Chachamim say it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and Rabbi Eliezer says it is Mutter Legamre. So how do you get from end to end in terms of range of positions? B'maika Miflagi, Rabbi Meir Savra Masuihu, the Chachamim are of the opinion, sorry, Rameir is of the opinion that it is considered a burden. It just simply doesn't define as a Tachshit. And according to the Chachamim, it is a tachshit, but she may take it off in order to show it to others. Okay, apparently it was something that people showed off one to another. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, it is a tachshit, but with the rabbinic concern that she's going to take it off and thereby violate the Malach of Otsal. And Rabbi Eliezer Savraman Darka Lemirma Isha Lemirma. Isha Sharechara, Lo Shafa Machve. And Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that who is typically the one who would put on the spice pouch? It would be a woman who generally has an unpleasant odor. And what Rabbi Eliezer says is that since typically it's worn by this kind of woman, so this kind of woman being conscious, self-conscious about her general body's aroma and odor, so she would never be interested in taking it off of herself. And so therefore Rabbi Eliezer says, based on the fact that the type of woman who's wearing this is also the same type of woman who's not going to want to take it off, so therefore it would be mutter legamri. There's no rabbinic concern. I should have read the next couple of words. V'lo asya la'asuya arba amos b'shus ha'rabim. Good. That's the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer. V'hatanya. The Gemara now quotes another braisa. Rabbi Eliezer potter b'kovel sevetzuchish l'plaitan. Now, in this braisa, we have Rabbi Eliezer saying that a woman is exempt if she were to go out with koveles, that's the spice pouch we were just describing, or it's luchishel plaitan. Now, we haven't defined what that is yet, but it's similar. It's basically a pouch with a little bit of perfume in it. We'll come back to that in just a little bit. So what we have now is that in this braisa, the wording of Rabbi Eliezer is pater. Now, pater means pater of al-asar. Now, that's not consistent with what we just learned together. We just learned together, according to Rabbi Eliezer, it's mutter legamre. A inconsistency between Rabbi Eliezer of the first braisa and this braisa we just learned together. Lokasha hakikai adarab mer hakakai adarabana. So the Gemara says, no, Rabbi Eliezer really is consistent. And really, Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that it's mutter legamre. In terms of the wording, it's just a question of who he's talking to. When talking with Reb Meir says, if a woman went out with a kavels on Shabbos, we're talking about an Isser D'Oraisa. And Rabbi Eliezer's response directly to Reb Meir is, no, it's not an Isser D'Oraisa. And then, Kikai D'Rabbanan D'Amri Pater Aval Aser, Amr Iyum Mutal L'Chechila. Now, when he's talking with the Chachamim, now the Chachamim say, it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. And now Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's not an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's Mutal L'Gamri. So it's just a question of who he is dialoguing with, which is just going to help us see which of the terms he's going to use. But consistently, he's of the opinion that it is in fact mutter legamre. Umay Rabbi Meir. Now we turn to the top of Samach Beis Amud Beis. The Gemara's question is, where do we see him directly dialoguing with Rabbi Meir? Netanya. So the Gemara says we see it, and the Gemara quotes a braisa. Lo seite isha bi mafteach shebiyada. A woman cannot go out with a key in her hand, being Yasa Chayev Eschatas de Rav Meir. And if she does so, she'll be Chayev Karmen Chatas, Rabbi Eliezer Poter, Bikovelas of Vitzluchish Plaita. And Rabbi Eliezer says that she would be exempt if she went out with a spice pouch and this small bag of perfume. Now, they're not having a dialogue, they're not discussing. Meaning the Tanakam is talking about a Mafteach, a key, and Rabbi Eliezer is coming back with the Kovelas and Vitzluchish Plaita. Like, where's the back and forth? Where's the give and take? That's the Gemara's question. Kovelas mandikar shmei. Who even discussed the kovelas? Chesur mechzer v'achi ketani. So the Gemara says, obviously, there's some part of the braisa that's missing, and we are now going to fill in the incomplete braisa. V'chem b'kovels v'chem b'tzuchis shalplaitam lo seitzim v'imyatza chayiv chatas divrei Meir. Ah. So Rameira opens up with the Maptech, and he also brings up the Kovelis and the Tzluchis Shalplaita. And he says, in all those circumstances, if a woman were to go out with it on Shabbos, we're talking about a Chiyuv Chatos. Rabbi Eliezer Poter B'Kovelis V'Tzluchis Shalplaita. And Rabbi Eliezer says that she will be exempt. But now we know what Rabbi Eliezer really means, is that it's Mutar Lagamri. It just happens to be that while now currently he is dialoguing directly with Rameir, and Rameir says it's a Chiyuv Chatos, so Rabbi Eliezer's counter is, no, it's not a Chiyuv Chatos. But the truth of the matter is that as far as his conclusion is concerned, it's Mutar Lagamri. Now here, the Gemara gives us a little more information. Mamet v'mamorim k'sheyesh b'hem bosem. Ava ein b'hem bosem chayeves. Now, as far as the idea that if she went out with this plaiton, with this little bag of perfume, and according to Rabbi Eliezer, it is mutter for her to do so, that's only if it has actual perfume in it. If it is a perfume pouch with no perfume in it, so then Rabbi Eliezer would agree that the woman would in fact be liable for carrying it out. Because once it's a pouch with no perfume in it, so what are we now talking about? We're just talking about a pouch. And since we're talking just about a pouch, obviously that would be a masui, that's considered a burden, it's not considered a tachshit, and therefore the woman would be chai for carrying, even according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, Am Rav Adar Bar Ava Zosa Meres. Now, Rav Adar Bar Ava says, if we pay careful attention to what we just learned together, we could draw the following conclusion. Hamotzi ochlem pachus mechashir b'kli chayev. Okay, this is a discussion that we're going to be having later in the Masechta. Rashi quotes Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. And over there, we have the following discussion. In order to be liable to the Malacha of Otsan Shabbos, you have to carry an item that has a requisite amount. We will be spending later in the Masechta a good amount of time discussing what exactly is the shear of any particular item to be taken out. And so, let's say I took out an item on Shabbos that didn't match, that didn't make it to the requisite shear. It was pachos mikashir. At the same time, however, it was on some sort of plate. Now, the reason why it's on the plate is because basically the plate is there to serve the item. And the question that we're going to be discussing and debating later in the Masechta is the following. It's a lumdish debate. And that is that if the plate is there just to serve the item, now, and I'm not going to be liable for carrying the item because the item itself does not make it to the shear, to the requisite amount, am I going to be liable for at least carrying the plate? And the question now becomes, since the plate is serving the item, so we're going to, can we look at the plate as now being buttled to the item? And so therefore, one would not be liable for carrying the plate. So what the Gemara now is pronouncing over here is by virtue of the fact that we just learned together that the perfume bag that does not have any perfume in it. So according to Rabbi Eliezer, you'd be chayev. Oh, so I now see that according to Rabbi Eliezer, he has skin in this game. He's clearly of the position that if I'm carrying something which is less than a shear, and I'm carrying it in some sort of carrying container, in some sort of plate, in this case a pouch, one would be liable for carrying the pouch. And we don't simply say that the pouch is there to serve the perfume that's in it. Daha ein babosem bepachus mikashir bekli dame. If it doesn't have perfume, that is analogous to carrying something on the plate where the item that I'm carrying on the plate is not the requisite shear. V'ketani chayavis, and we just learned that according to Rabbi Elazar you'd be chayav. So this is what the Gemara wants to draw as a conclusion. And Rav Ashi, Amar Rav Ashi says, no, inconclusive. Rav Ashi, Amar Ba'ama, Im Lecha Potter. Really what I can tell you is that according to Rabbi Eliezer, you wouldn't be chai for carrying the plate if the plate is there to support an item. But over here, V'shani hachad alesa lamasha klal. But over here, what are we talking about? A perfume bag that has no perfume in it. Now, it may still have some of the aroma of the perfume, but if it doesn't have any perfume in it whatsoever, it's not analogous to the case of carrying an item on a plate where there you have mamashut, you have something on the plate. The plate is serving the whatever's on top of the plate, even though the item may be less than a shear. Over here, there's literally nothing in the perfume bag, and the cases are not analogous, and therefore you can't draw any conclusions. We have now discussed our Mishnah in some detail regarding the definition of the items that a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos because they are not a tachshit. A debate between the Tanayim regarding certain items, whether they are or are not considered a masui or a tachshit. The Gemara has now used and going to use this opportunity to go through a number of psukim through the Nevi'im in discussing perfumes, and although the Gemara is going to now go into a little bit of agadata, a little bit of halacha and agadata, that will carry us over for the rest of today. We start with Sefer Amos, part of Treyasar, and we start with a pasuk. Bereishis Shmanim Yimshechu. The pasuk describes that you're going to take the oils in order to be moshech, to rub them and to anoint them. I'm Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Zu Plaiton. And Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel says that this is in reference to Plaiton. And as let's continue the Gemara. Mesa Rav Yosef asked the following question. Al Plaiton Gazar. That they made Xerah on Plaiton. Rav Yudah Ben Baba Velo Hodu Lo. Rav Yudah Ben Baba says that after Churban Bayis Sheni, after the destruction of the Second Temple, so Rav Yehuda ben Baba listed as one of the things that one cannot do, because it is just simply too nice, it's too luxurious an item. And we have to really temper our simcha after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So Rav Yehuda ben Baba says that you can't put on plaiton. A woman cannot put on plaiton. And the Chachamim did not subscribe to that viewpoint. So the Gemara now wonders, based on the Pasuk and Amos we just described, that the plight on this balsam oil that was applied to a woman is clearly something which is luxurious. And why is it that the Chachamim didn't agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba? Why wasn't it put under the Gzeira? And that we should temper our simcha after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Amalei Abayi L'Tameh Chadek Siv HaShosim Mimizrik HaYayin. Now, the Gemara says, fine, but in the Pasuk, in that same Perek in Amos, so it describes drinking wine out of a very large cup, a luxury item. Rabbi Amir Ravasi Charamar Kinishkanin v'Charamar Shemazakin Kosun Zelazeh. Now, what exactly was the luxury of this particular cup? So, one opinion is that it was a cup that had multiple straws in it. Another is that they would throw the cups one to another. Not exactly clear. I know what it means. Just not sure why that's a luxury item. Doesn't matter. These are things that are done out of tanug, out of extreme pleasure. And the Gemara says, "Hachinami daser," and you want to tell me now that these activities are aser? But it's not true. "Bahar Rabba Bar Ravuna Ikla Lebe Reish Kalusa V'Shasa B'Kenishkin and V'Lo Amar Le'V'Lo Midi." Rabba Bar Ravuna went to the house of the Reish Kalusa and drank from this cup with the multiple straws on it, and nobody said anything to him. Meaning, just because something is a luxury item doesn't immediately mean that it falls under the Gzera de Rabbanan that we have to temper our simcha. Ela Kol Midi De Ispe Tanuk V'Ispe Simcha Gaz Rabbanan. In order for something to hit the threshold where the Chachamim said that's too much joy and too much luxury, is that it must actually meet both of those criteria. And it has to be both an item of tanug, of pleasure, and also simcha, and has to bring about joy. So if it's something which is a pleasure item but doesn't bring about simcha, so then that doesn't make it into the Gzera de Rabbanan, and has to have both. And I understand these are criteria that are challenging to define, but once you get to the definition that it has both tanug and simcha, so that's something where, because of Churban Bayis Sheni, so therefore those are things which the Chachamim would make a ban on, because we have to temper our simcha. As long as we quoted the Pasuk in Amos, the Gemara now is going to continue doing so. Hashachvin amitos shein v'sruchim al arisosam. So they are sitting on ivory beds, and they are saruch. They are basically becoming defiled on their beds. And what does that mean? I'm Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin, Malamit Shayim Mashinim Mayim Bifnei Mitoseim Arumin. So Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin explaining. Now, the pasuk over here, if we looked at it in context, you'll see that the Navi is saying this as tochacha. This is clear rebuke, meaning this is the kind of behavior you engaged in, which is highly inappropriate. And the way Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin understands it is that what they were doing is that they were urinating right in front of their beds. So Megadav by Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba heard this pshat, he dismissed it. No, that's not the pshat in the pasuk. And if you continue in the pasuk, you'll see that the tochacha goes even stronger. And within the tochacha, it says very clearly that because you engage in this kind of behavior, so you're now going to be sent into exile. Now, now, clearly, it is immodest behavior to urinate right in front of your bed. But it's a modest behavior, it's not appropriate behavior. but because of that behavior, they're going to be sent into galus. So El Amar Rabbi Abao Elu Bnei Adam Shayu Ochlim V'Shosim Zeim Zeh V'Dovki Mitosim Zeh B'Zeh U'Machlif V'Nishosim Zeh Im Zeh U'Masrichen Arisosam B'Shichva Zerah She'ina Shalahem. So Rabbi Abao, going back to the Pasuk Anamo, says, no, what it's describing over here is that they would be living in very close quarters to one another, moving the beds of each other, of various couples, one next to another, swapping wives one with another. We're talking about Ish Tish, we're talking about adultery, and blatant adultery. And for that reason, so they were sent into exile. So, okay, so Gila Arias, in a very indiscreet manner. And so that is the preferred shot in the Pasuk, because then you understand the consequence that we're sent into Galus as a result of that. Amar Rabbi Abahu Amri La B'Masi Satana. So it's a strange segue, but we just discussed momentarily the idea that urinating right in front of your bed is something which is inappropriate, it's immodest. And so the Gemara now is going to segue into a discussion regarding this topic and related topics. Some say that Rabbi Abahu says it, some says that it was torn to Braisa. Gimel Dvar Mevim Asadam Lideanios. Three different types of behaviors where it'll lead to poverty. Eluhain, and they are, number one, Amashimayim Bifnei Mitaso Arum. Going to the bathroom right in front of your bed, urinating right in front of your bed. Number two, Mezalzel Benetilas Yadayim. Somebody's not careful regarding washing hands. And number three, Sheishto Mekalas Befanav. Getting your wife so upset that she curses you. And the Gemara now is going to explain all three of these items. Amashimayim Bifnei Mitaso Arum. Amar Evel Amarn Ela Demahadar Ape Lepurye Aval Lebarai Lefanba. Now, going to the bathroom right in front of your bed, that only becomes an issue if you're facing the bed. And that's immodest, and that's an affront. But if you turn your back to your bed, that would be not inappropriate. That would be fine. Omahada apet lapur yanami lamar ela la'ara'a. Avabaman leislan ba. And additionally, even if you are facing your bed, but you are urinating into some sort of bowl, that's also not a problem. It's that when you're just simply urinating directly in the direction of your bed, it's just immodest, it's inappropriate, it shows a lack of respect. And so that is where that kind of behavior leads to anias, it leads to poverty. Number two, mezalzel b'netilas yadayim. Also, somebody who's not careful about washing hands, amar rav lo amar ela d'lamashi yadei klal. We're describing somebody who neglects washing his hands altogether. Avamasha v'lamasha, but let's say you wash your hands but not well. I know lately a lot of emphasis has been put on washing your hands. So Rashi over here, Masha v'lo Masha. So Rashi gives a description where you just run your hands under the water, but you don't rub it. Okay, you're not washing them well, or you're not using enough water for Nitilas Yadayim. You need a revius of water, and you're using less than that. Either way, you're just not being careful. So Leislan Bas, so the Gemara says that's not going to lead to anias. V'lav milsi, but the Gemara immediately rejects that. No. Amrav Chista anam ashay malei chafnei maya, v'yavali malei chafnei tivusa. Rav Chista says that, look, I wash my hands with handfuls of water. And as a result of that, I was given more water to wash with. In other words, my ashirus is the result of the fact that I was generous in terms of the amount of water I used in terms of washing my hands. So the Gemara says that, yes, even if you are skimpy on the water that you use, meaning you do wash your hands, but you're skimpy about the water that you use when washing, that also leads to anias. And finally, number three, she'ishto mekalas b'fanav amarav al iskei tachshiteha. Why is your wife cursing you? Because you're not buying her enough jewelry. And so the Gemara says as a result of that, so that will lead to anias. V'ani milahu de'islu v'lo avid. Now the Gemara puts in the obvious provision, and that is that you are a person of means and you're in a position where you can buy your wife jewelry, and when you are in that position and you don't do so, that would lead to anias. But if you're not in a position to buy your wife jewelry, so then obviously you don't do it, which is kind of ironic because then you already are in a state of anias. But that you can ignore that comment. There is a middle ground where you can afford your life, but you just simply don't have the money for the luxury items. Okay, and now finishing up the daf today, so we're going to be going back to the Pesukim and the Navi. And here now we're moving to Sefer Yeshayahu. And in the beginning, towards the beginning of Sefer Yeshayahu, so the Navi was giving tochacha to both men and women. So we're going to start with the women and we're going to go to the men. And both of them were acting in extraordinarily inappropriate behaviors. And the Navi was trying to correct the ways of the people of his day. And so we're going to go through some psukim here in Perek Gimel, and we're going to see exactly the inappropriate conduct of the women in the time of Yeshayah. One pasuk, Vayomer Hashem, Yan ki gavu benosiyon. The women of the women are gavoa. Now they're tall, and that doesn't mean that they're tall. But the Gemara goes on to explain, Shayu mahalpus become as gufa. They would walk in a very upright posture, trying to draw attention to themselves. Next, Vatelechnan tuyos garon. Their necks are stretched out. Shayu mahalchos akev bitzad godel. When they take their steps, they take the heel of one foot and just bring it to the toe of the next foot. And if you can picture, that means that they're walking extraordinarily slowly, and they're doing so in order, again, to draw attention to themselves. Next. Omisakro seinayim. And they would put in their eyes, zahavamalan kuchla leinayim ramzan. They put on a lot of makeup, and clearly to draw attention to themselves. Next. Halok v'tafuf. The pasuk describes that they would walk v'tafuf. It's a difficult word to translate. And the Gemara's explanation, shayim ahachos arucha v'tzad ksara. When they would pair up when walking together, they would have a particularly tall woman walking to next to a particularly short woman. And what would that be? That would be an invitation for people to look at them. The inconsistent height of the two draw attention. And that's the whole reason why they were doing so. And then next, Raglehem, Te'achsana. And on their feet, they would be Te'achsana. Again, a difficult word to translate. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Debei Rabbi Amin Malam, Shematilos, more of our first man Bemanaleem. On the Hafiz Beshoki Yerushalayim, what they would do is they would take the various fragrances of mor and afarsama, they would put it in the heel of their shoe, they would walk through the market to Yerushalayim, they came in Shemagiyas Eitzah Bechur Yisrael, when they approached a young man, Boatus Bekarka, they would kick in the ground, Matizos Aleim, and what they would do is they would break the perfume, so out would come a very strong aroma of the perfume, Umachnisus Ben Yetzahara Ke'eres Bech'oos, and then the Yetzahara would just go right into that young man, just like the venom of a snake. And obviously, the whole reason why we brought this down over here is for this point, because in the Mishnah, we were discussing the plaiton, the various perfume pouches, and so that's the connection between the Mishnah and the Gemara that we're bringing up over here. Ma'ibur nasechem. Now, the Gemara says, fine. So, obviously, this was tremendously immodest behavior, more than immodest behavior, because really what they were doing was they were trying to entice men to be involved in adulterous relationships. And so the Gemara says, what comes as a result of that? What exactly happens to these women? Kedidash Rabba Bar'ula, and again, now we go back to the Pesukim in Yeshayahu, and we're going to explain. Vayatach bosa mak yiyeh. That underneath the boshim where they put the perfume on, so the flesh would start decaying. Makam shayu mispasom bono asom nemakim namakim. And the Gemara says, the Pesuk is pretty self-explanatory, but the Gemara says, that the places where they would put the perfume, so the flesh started rotting in those places. Next, the pasuk says, "Betachas chagura nafka," and the Gemara explains, "Makam shayu chaguros betzotzol." The places where they belted themselves, nasu nikafim nikafim. There would be wounds over there. Next, "Betachas maasei miksheh karcha," and under instead of an exchange of the miksheh, so there would be karcha. There would be baldness. The Gemara explains, "Makam shayu miskatzos bo nasem." Karachim, karachim. The places that they would adorn themselves would start balding. Next, v'tachas pitigal, mechguratzak. The pitigal is probably a reference to the private area. And psachim ha-mevim le-de-gila, the Gemara spells it out. So, yu le-machguratzak. So, they're going to end up putting sackcloth in the area where they had joy and pleasure. Next, in the pasuk, kisachas yofi. Instead of the beauty, you had boils growing in that area. How do you see that? The pasuk says, "Visafach." We have it with a samach, it's with a sin. Either way, Hashem katkod benosion. I'm Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanin, Malami Shaparachus ben Tsaras. Tsaras grew in the areas. Siv hacha visafach, v'siv hasam laseis ulasapachas. Parshas Mitzora, Parshas Tazria. So we see the Torah describing the Mitzaras, one of them, as being a Sapachas. Vashem Pashen Ya'areh. And going back to the Psukim in Yeshayahu, Rav Shmuel Charamar Shenishbechu Kikiton, when they menstruated, they just flowed. And Vacharamar Shenasu Pishen Kiya'ar. Or there was a tremendous amount of hair growing in that area that made them unseemly to any man. So this is all the understanding of the tochacha that was given by Yeshayahu to the women of his day. And that was the tochacha that he gave to the women. Now we turn our attention to the tochacha that was given to the men. Amar Yudam Rav Anshe Yerushalayim Anshe Shachatz Hayu. The men living at the time in Yerushalayim, so they were talking in the most lewd of terms. Adam Omer L'Chaveiro, and a person would say to his friend, now everything over here is to be understood euphemistically, meaning these are all in reference to immoral sexual behavior, and the Gemara is just speaking now euphemistically. The way they talked to one another was all by way of euphemism. It was all an illusion. What did you eat today? Did you eat bread that was amela or eno amela? And that was the description of the woman that they slept with. Was she a basula? Was she a ba'ula? Biyain, and what kind of wine did you drink? Gordali o biyain chardali. Was it a white wine or was it a dark wine? Again, everything here is a euphemism describing the kind of woman that they slept with. B'masav rachal, b'masav katsar. Was the bed wide or was the bed short? It was the bed narrow. Bechavertov, bechavera. Right? Good friend, bad friend, attractive or unattractive. Again, this is just the lewd discussion that was had by the men at the time. I'm Rav Chisda Bekulin Liznus. And Rav Chisda says exactly what we just said, that everything over here is euphemistic. I'm Rachla, I'm Rav Yehuda, I say Yerushalayim Shalkinamam Hayu. And the Gemara concludes the daf with the following, that in Yerushalayim they had a lot of cinnamon. When burning that cinnamon in Yerushalayim, so the aroma spread out through the entirety of Eretz Yisrael. And upon the destruction of Yerushalayim, Nignazu, that cinnamon was put into Geniza. Only a remnant, a small remnant of it was kept. And you're going to find it within the treasure house of Queen Tzimtzumai. Can't ask me any questions about her, as I know nothing about her other than she is a queen. Let us quickly recap our daf today. We started with the Mishnah on Samach Beis Amud Aleph, describing more items that a woman cannot go out with on Shabbos. A debate in the Mishnah whether they are a non-tachshit item, which is Reb Meir's position, or they are tachshit, but the Chachamim were just simply concerned they may take them off. And then, in the course of the Gemara, we discussed rings worn by men, rings worn by women, and the idea that men and women are two different populations, and so therefore what defines itself as a takshit for the man is not going to be a takshit for the woman, and vice versa. That was the statement of Ula, which the Gemara ended up supporting and defending. A side question, whether or not if the ring is worn on the finger, can be considered kala achar yad, carrying it in an unusual manner? And the Gemara's response is, no, it's not unusual. That's how rings are worn. Rings are worn on the finger, even when transported. Rings are worn on the feet, on the finger. We discussed today in detail what's the kulyar, what's the koveles, some sort of brooch. The koveles is some sort of pouch that takes off the body odor. And then we also discussed the tzuchis shel plaiton, a perfume pouch as well. Are these items considered a tachshit? Are they not? Again, a debate between the tanayim. And we had a range of positions. Rameir says it's a masui. The Chachamim say it's a gzera derabanan for her to go out with it, but it is a takshit. And Rabbi Leizer says it's mutter legamre. So we have our range of positions. And then finally, the Gemara. Well, before we get to finally, the Gemara wants to know: should these perfume pouches be banned because of the general idea that we should temper our simcha? And the Gemara says no, it doesn't meet the threshold. In order to get to the threshold, there has to be tanug and simcha. The Gemara made mention about urinating in front of your bed. The Gemara talked about various things that lead to poverty. And then the Gemara concluded today with inappropriate conduct for women that was in the time of Yeshayahu and inappropriate conduct for men. And we will pick it up tomorrow with the Mishnah.